Welcome to the Living Savior Church. We're so glad to have you. We, like Dave said, we had a great weekend, Friday night and Saturday over in Plano. We got to drive over there and about an hour and a half drive, I guess, or whatever, over to the Prophecy Club and got to teach their people. Had a full house both nights. Praise the Lord. Had to bring in chairs even. But they had a full house. And in fact, Miss Jackie, she was over there. She came, but several people come. Michael and Gracie, they came. You know, so we had all kinds of people. But anyway, praise God. I will have to say, you know, that was mostly a new bunch, you know. So I love to take a new bunch and throw them a tough sirloin steak and let them chew on it for a while. Because what I teach sometimes is so foreign to anything you've ever heard in God's Word. Wow, I guarantee God will heal you. And they say, well, we ain't never heard nothing like this before. Wow, but he will, won't he, Dave? Yes, he will, praise God. So anyway, welcome, welcome. Well, the first thing we're going to do today, we're going to have a baby dedication, a new life, and this couple, Forrest and Cynthia, are going to bring their baby up here, and I would love for the grandparents to come too, if you would. Laura and Mark, their grandparents from Denver, Colorado, I'd like the whole family to come up if y'all would. We got a new little one here, little Michael. He's 8 days old today, and they want to dedicate this little boy to the Lord and to the service of the Lord forever. And so that's what we're going to do. This is a precious little 8-day-old guy. Praise the Lord. Isn't he something? All right. So we got the mom and the dad right here. Yeah. And so, okay, we want pictures. So y'all stand up here. Both of y'all stand on this side, I guess. The grandparents stand over here on this side. We get here together. And Dave's going to take our picture. And are we okay?
Gabriel? Oh, Gabriel.
Praise the Lord. Oh, we got one right here. Okay, here's another one. Praise the Lord. Can you get us all in there, Dave? All right, praise the Lord. Now then, there's Kim.
We won't get down.
It's okay. If you've already got a picture, don't worry about it. Okay?
Okay, we got it all taken care of now. Okay, now then, before we actually speak the dedication of the blessing over this child, I would like to say something, and I don't know, maybe the grandparents might want to tell the story themselves why they're here. Since they come from Denver, you know, you would think there's something strange about this, wouldn't you? Well, I'll have to say, talking to the grandfather here, a while ago, he told me that when he first heard my teaching, he didn't like me. He couldn't stand me. But anyway, they listened a little while, and then his lovely wife over here had a problem with diabetes. So they decided to check out God and see if he was really here. So they come from Denver down here and several months ago with her diabetes, and we prayed for her, and what did God do for you? He healed her, didn't he?
Yeah, here you go.
He healed her completely. In just a week, she told me. And so now then, I'm so pleased with what they told me. They said, now we listen to your CDs and DVDs every day. In fact, they not only listen to us, they come all the way from Denver, Colorado, to bless this little child in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're going to speak a blessing over this child. You know, this is Forrest and Cynthia Gibson. That's their name, and of course, Lauren and Mark is their grandparents' name here. And the baby's name is Michael Van Gibson. Is that right? Yeah, Michael Van. So now then, we want to dedicate this little guy. This is what y'all want to do. You want to dedicate him to God for the Lord to use him for his glory forever, right?
That's correct.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands gently upon this tiny little thing, and I speak a blessing of prosperity, long life, and good health, and that this child will come to know the principles of the kingdom at a very young age, because mom and dad and grandmother and granddad will teach this child, as well as the rest of the grandchildren, the principles of the kingdom, so that they will grow up to be wonderful men and of God that'll walk holy before God, and may you use them mightily to do great and wonderful things for your kingdom. And we claim this and the other little boy, both the children, we claim their spirits, souls, and bodies for the Lord Jesus Christ in service unto his kingdom forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay, Dave's still taking pictures. And get the picture of this precious little guy. Praise the Lord. All right. So, okay. So, what, honey?
Look at them.
Look at them? Oh, okay. Okay, right there. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, praise God. Now that little guy has been dedicated to the Lord, and y'all are going to teach him the principles of the kingdom, right?
Yes, sir.
And grandmother and grandfather's going to teach him the principles of the kingdom too, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, they love Jesus as Lord and Savior. Did you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, with
Let's see. Let's turn the mic on. Make sure it's on. Just hold it up close to your mouth and.
Yeah, with today we're very happy to come here to praise the Lord, our King Jesus.
Amen.
Only God in, only God, heaven and earth.
Amen. Praise
we
the Lord.
We praise him, and everything belongs to him. The glory, the power, the kingdom belong to our King Jesus forever and ever.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Good word from yes. Grandfather.
Just last year, December, in November last year, and we troubling with all the church around because something in our spirit, we didn't like it because they didn't taught the real word of, you know, of God. So we quit going to church and we stay home. But that time we didn't know, you know, we always violate, you know, we always get sin because according to Pastor Thurman teaching in Hebrews 10:25.
Amen.
So we didn't know it. We quit going to church for a while, but we still stay home and worship the Lord. Because we dedicate our life to Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Savior, our Healer forever, ever since we accept him as our Savior.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, and we praying for God show us the real church will come. And that time, my wife, she got diabetes very, very bad. She couldn't eat something sweetie and very difficult. And all her family, many people, you know, men, women, children, all diabetes. We say, you know, the generation curse.
Yeah, yeah.
But that time we know. But we just know something wrong. So we keep praying to the Lord. And one night, when we watch TV, and the show of Mr. Sirot and Pastor Thurman on the TV. Yeah, talk about the Kalen miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
So I asked, Lord, did it, you want me to come? So we asked our daughter, and our son-in-law, he said he knew Pastor Thurman a long while back. So we say, okay, we find that the address we come. Maybe the Lord saw us to come here. So the next Sunday we come, and actually, the first time, you know, with something really we didn't like, me myself, I commit my sin. And I already repent to Pastor Thurman and repent to God. Yeah. I didn't like really his teaching. You know, because I never accept, you know, sickness related to sin. And I never accept, you know, God so loved the world can kill people for the sin.
Yeah.
As you know, especially, you know, kill children for the sin.
Yeah.
That against all the, you know, the traditional teaching. You got to say traditional teaching. And Jesus, he hated. He hated traditional teaching. But that time, I didn't know. God didn't open my spiritual eye yet. So I didn't like it. And I come here, I got my sin, I got my sickness, my gout, yeah, for 30 years. Yeah, no, 30 years. But after I accept Jesus Christ, you know, my Lord, my Savior, and my God, the sickness is still there. It's still there. So I come here wishing Pastor Thurman pray for me and it's gone. But it didn't. But that time I didn't know. Not easy, because the sin still in me. But I didn't know. So, but my wife, the first Sunday, she come here. And the second Sunday, she come here. And Pastor Thurman pray for her. And very short prayer, and she got healed out of diabetes.
Amen.
Yeah, in few days.
Praise the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
In few days, she already got healed. Over here, she didn't feel anything. She didn't feel anything, but by faith, she accepts she already healing.
Yeah.
She already got healed. And on the way home, that time we live in Plano. On the way home, sit in a car with our son-in-law driving, and she got very warmy, weird, you know, very weird warmy all her body.
Amen.
So she went home and she quit medication. Even though she afraid, you know, she afraid something talk that dangerous. But she believed Jesus already healed her.
Amen.
So she quit. And she worshiped the Lord straight 2 hours, dancing 2 hours in.
Praise the Lord.
And she jumping, dancing in her private room. Now with the music, and she prayed the Lord with hallelujah, you know, 2 straight hours. And, but the second day, still something talk in her spirit that dangerous. God take medicine right away. But she said, no, Jesus already healed me. So she you know, throw medicine away.
Amen.
So she keep praying God, and keep talking to the demon. God already healed her.
Amen.
So for just after a few days, everything gone.
Amen.
No feeling, no nothing in her body showing. She already got diabetes. No more feeling like the first few days. And now she, the one in home, you know, eating more sweet than everybody.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
She said, you know, for 20 years.
Suffered for 20 years.
Yeah, for suffering 20 years, no eating. And she loved, you know, ice cream. She loved everything, sweetie.
Amen. Yeah. Thank
now
you, she's Jesus.
More than everybody.
Amen.
Sometimes her faith, you know, more than, you know, my faith. I said, be careful, honey, be careful. Don't eat so much, sweetie. He said, no, I believe Jesus already healed me.
Amen. Really, praise the Lord. Amen.
So about me, myself, when Pastor Thurman prayed for me and my sickness, my disease, you know, still there. And after a week, I tried, you know, to fighting with my sickness, and it's very painful. Everybody over here know about, you know, how painful the gout is. Very painful. You know, my leg or my hand getting swollen, and I couldn't do anything, just drawing or lying on the bed. So I fought with my disease for a week, and finally I gave up and I said, no way, I couldn't do that. It's so painful, so hurting. So I heard about Pastor Thurman talk about, he read some letter from some people in New Way, talking about throw medicine away. I said, no way, that teaching very dangerous. Yeah. Very dangerous. I could not accept it. So I talked to my wife. I told my wife, now honey, I remember in the Bible, in John 9, talking about, you know, whose sin was it. So Jesus said, but actually that time, my spiritual eyes not open yet. So Jesus said, not his parents' sin or his own sin. So I said, see, not by his sin and he still got blind. So I hold some grudges against him. And that time, you know, I suddenly fell in the very, very sick. I couldn't eat almost. I died. So after that, I watched more about his teaching. So I find out about Job 33. Now, I couldn't eat, you know, the delicious foods. And the angel of death, you know, already waiting for me at the door. I said, that's for me. That's for me. So I knew down with God. I repent to Jesus, and Jesus showed mercy.
Amen.
Yo, and he showed me something that the sin, that the sins I promised. But that time, you know, I moved to Colorado. I said, Jesus, I promise. I come back, I find a chance, come back here to the church and praise you, worship you, and say sorry to Mr. Pastor Thurman. So I feeling in my spirit, Jesus smiling.
Amen.
That time, you know, I was on sick bed. And in my spirit, almost I fainted because with the sickness. And in my spirit, I saw Jesus around me, and he said, son, don't worry.
Amen.
But yeah. I just thought in my spirit, or I just thought maybe I was dreaming. Mm-hmm. So today, actually, you know, after Jesus opened my spiritual eye, so I repent everything, and after that, I didn't know why I so loved his teaching, Pastor Thurman. So love him. Every day, the whole family watching the DVD or on the car, you know, we listening to the CD.
Yeah. Wow.
Everything in the world, we already crucified the world. We throw away the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
But actually, we already crucified the world for 4 or 5 years. So ever since we accept Jesus, we always crucify ourselves with the world.
Amen.
And praise we make Lord. Ourselves. Die, you know, with the sin. But that time I couldn't accept the teaching. I said, see, Lord, I love you so much. When talk about your name, I will cry. Now I feel hurting in my heart, hurting in my bone because the love, you know. How can, you know, I commit sin against you? So I couldn't accept it. But later, we know I violate so much sin, you know, according to his teaching, you know. According to Philippians 2:14, I grumbling, complaining all the time, you know. That's a sin, but before I didn't know it. I didn't thought that, you know, seriously.
Praise God.
And the forgiveness, actually, you know, I forgive everything, everybody, but we didn't know in our spirit. So his teaching helped us a lot. And by his teaching, his faith maybe impart to my spirit and get my faith increasing.
Amen.
You know, so I raised my hand on the people sick and they got healed instantly.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, people couldn't, you know, the doctor and everything couldn't happen. But in the name of Jesus, and by his faith, you know, impart to my spirit and make my faith increasing. And boldly, you know, raise my hand in them and they got healed instantly.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's great.
And I boldly, you know, command the dark cloud. Yesterday we drive all the way down from Colorado to here. And the sky very dark. Look like, you know, we got a very heavy raining. So we afraid for the baby, you know. So I say, praise the Lord for the dark sky. Mm-hmm. No, we don't complain. You know, because by his teaching, I learned something. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I say, praise the Lord for the dark sky. But everything good, but if you make it go away, you must bear it for the baby, you know.
Praise the Lord, yeah. Praise the Lord.
And it's just a few minutes, all dark cloud go away.
Amen, praise the Lord.
And the sun, you know, the sun shine again, yeah. And all the way down to Texas.
Amen, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to
yeah.
God.
So on the way, we stop and some place for the feeding baby. So much windy. Everything blow away. We couldn't put everything on the table. Everything, the wind blow away. So we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know that's very good for everybody. Love the windy. But for me, if you take it away, but better. You know, just a few minutes, instantly, the wind down.
Amen.
Praise no more.
Praise the Lord. Wow.
So I said, I come here today and say, I love the teaching of Pastor Thurman. That the real teaching from God.
Amen.
Because in my spirit, actually, I got to confess, I read the Bible over for 5 years, many times the Bible. But now, you know, God showed me in my spirit, I never find one word in the Bible talking about demon put signal on people. No. Only God in control everything.
Amen. Yeah.
So that's why I pray the Lord, give Pastor Thurman for me, myself, for my family, yeah. Like the messenger in Job 33.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And Pastor Thurman help everybody to make the kingdom of God become larger. Yeah. On the day Jesus Christ coming, I know coming very soon.
Amen.
According to the teaching of Pastor Thurman, we are waiting for the Lord Jesus coming.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And that time, we all happy stand behind Pastor Thurman. Thank you, Jesus, for sending us our good shepherd.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, before he walks away from here, I'm going to pray for him, both of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every generational curse over both of them, and I command every unholy spirit to leave both of them, and I command in the name of Jesus that both of them be completely healed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and made whole. And I thank you and praise you for not only blessing the family of the baby and everything, but their grandparents, and may we all be blessed because we're all sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we worship you and thank you for everybody's complete healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am healed.
Pastor Matt, can I add a quick description to my father-in-law's what it looked like?
Can you do what, sir?
Can I add a quick description to what
oh,
it
looked sure,
like?
Oh, sure.
Just to briefly explain.
It's on, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, my father-in-law, it was gout that he had, but literally his hands were swollen up like grapefruits, and as far as his mobility, he couldn't even step down off a curb when it was really bad, you know, it was so severe, couldn't even sit in a chair, he had to lay down. So to give you a visualization of what it looked like.
He's going
to
be completely healed. It's done deal. Praise God.
I know I'm here and my wife is healed, and we know according to Galatians 3:13, Jesus Christ already break the curse.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
On myself, on my wife.
Amen.
So I know I'm healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what it takes, that kind of faith. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving that testimony. And praise the Lord for healing you, huh?
No, amen.
Amen. From top to bottom. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful. Wow. Are we grateful that we serve an awesome God? Wow. He is an awesome God. Praise the Lord. I would like to say something. Some of you may not know Mary and Howie Clark, but they were members of our church. They come regular. She's a little lady that walked with a walker quite a bit. You know, she couldn't hardly get around without her walker. last week, she had a massive heart attack and went home to be with the Lord. So they asked me to preach the message Saturday, but I was preaching in Plano Saturday, so thank God for Jeff.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I had a good pastor to fill in for me, and Jeff did. He filled in, and he preached the message over there, and he went to the gravesite. And he, of course, Jeff sings, you know, and has a guitar, so they asked him to play or two or three songs. So I couldn't have done that. You know, I don't play the guitar, but anyway, thank God that God sent us the people that we need to meet all the needs of all the people when something like this happens. We're so sorry that for the loss of Mary, but you know, I know her husband of many years. They've been married a long time. I know that he's going to miss her. You know, that's just the way life is. But, you know, if you're not prepared as a Christian to lose your mate or your loved ones or whatever, then you better get that way, because none of us know when we're going to go home, do we? But at least praise God for those of us here in this house that know Jesus. When we leave here, wow, what an awesome trip that's going to be, you know, to open your eyes on the other side in the arms of Jesus. And I'm grateful for that. And, you know, I know I've told you all before many times, but I only want to hear one thing when I get on the other side. Y'all know what that is. I want to see him standing there with his arms out with a big smile on his face saying, "Well done, son. You did a good job for me." That's all I want to hear. Is that what you want to hear too? Yes, that's what we want to hear. So, but anyway, we lost one of our soldiers this week. Mary has gone home to be with Jesus. And I know that her husband will miss her, but and all the children and grandchildren and everything. But we put her to rest Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, and Jeff did the service. So praise God. Now then, how many of you know that you tell your children what you want them to do to become prosperous and successful? We want to send you to the best college so you can get a master's degree or a PhD. I mean, don't be like me, you know, I mean, your dad or your granddad or whatever. Don't be like me. I only had a third grade education. You know, I'm talking about my dad. My dad had a third grade education. They had to take him out of school to help with the crops, and so they never sent him back to school. So when my mother and my dad got married, my dad, he could read fairly good, but he couldn't do math at all. He never got into math at all. My mother had to teach him the finer points of reading. My mother had a high school education. That's all she had. But she could read very well, so she taught my dad to read, and she taught my dad how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. I mean, he had a third grade education, you know. So whenever I came along a few years later, there was four total of us children, and I was the third one. And by the time I began to get grown, in fact, I almost quit high school in my senior year because I got crossways with a coach. And my dad, I never forget what my dad did. When I come home that day, he said, "Son, what are you doing home?" I said, "You should be in school." I said, "Dad, the coach accused me of something I did not do." And I said, he wanted to give me a spanking for it. And I told him, "No, I would not take it because I didn't do what he told me I did." And he said, "I did." And so I told him, "No, I would not let him give me a spanking." He said, "Well, in that case, I'm going to expel you from school." And I only like 3 months graduating. And my dad said, "Well, get in the car, son. We're going back up there to see that coach." And so we went up there. And we got there, and as we were there, my dad asked the coach what I did, and he told him what I did. And my dad looked at me and said, "Son, did you do that?" And I said, "No, sir, I did not." And he said, "Coach," he said, I hate to tell you this, but he said, "That boy standing right there, as far as I know, he has never told me a lie in his 18 years. Everything he's told me has always been on the up and up. I've taught him to be truthful. I've taught him from God's word to teach, to talk the truth." And he said, "If he tells me he didn't do it, he didn't do it." Well, the coach said, "I believe he did it." And he said, "He's not coming back in school unless he takes 5 licks. My dad looked at me and said, "Dad, I didn't do it. I'm not taking those licks." So he turned around and told the coach, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" He said, "I'll take his licks for him. You beat me." But he said, "My son's going to finish high school." He said, "I had a third grade education, and I only realized a little bit of what I missed, but said, if it takes it, I'll take the beating for my son. Whatever you want to do to me, you do it, but that boy's going to be back in school tomorrow morning." And the coach looked at my dad, and he said, "Okay, Mr. Scribner, if that's the way you feel, I won't give him a spanking." I'll just put him back in school. Well, I really didn't do what the coach said I did. I did not do it. I can stand here today and tell you I did not do that, just like I told them. But how many of you have had a dad like that? Well, that's good. If you've had a father like that, you had a good one. I had a good daddy. Now then, my dad, though, he told me, son, he said, you're here. This is the advice my daddy gave me. He said, we live in the most changing world. He was born in 1907. And he said, in my lifetime, I've seen from no airplanes and no cars, I mean from the horse and buggy, that's all we had when I was a kid. He said, I've seen cars. I've seen go from curtains on cars to glass in cars. He said, I remember one time I went to town and two old guys were sitting there just about 11:30, 12 o'clock, quarter to 12. And they said, well, we got to go home, turn on our battery-operated radio so we can listen to the news. And Dad said, I made a statement, said, guys, the way things are going, the day's probably going to come when you'll be able to listen to that radio in your car on the way home. And they said, son, we might as well lock you up now. You've lost your mind. Now, that prophecy that my dad gave, little did he know how little he knew. Today, we drive down the road with computers, telephones, color stuff, communicating with the internet, you know, to satellites. And do we do that? Yeah. My dad had no clue when he said, you guys probably will be able to listen to that radio in your car. And they thought he had lost his ever-loving mind. So, you see, if we were to bring somebody back from a long time ago to the middle of where we are today, if they were at least 100 years old, you know, I can remember one time my dad and I was coming back from the valley and I had a little Mooney airplane. We're flying along there and 125, 30 miles an hour. And my dad's looking out the window and he's just quiet. And I said, Dad, what are you thinking about? He said, you know, I was just thinking if I could have told my dad before he died that one day I'd have a son, and me and him would be flying to the Comata Valley to bale hay, and then flying home in the afternoon before dark and land behind my house in my backyard. He said, my dad wouldn't have believed that. He said, you know, I'm doing it, and I can't hardly believe it myself. Well, that goes to show you how we've changed, right? I mean, we tell our children, we give them advice, like my dad told me, he said, son, I've seen so many changes in technology in my lifetime. He said, whatever you do when you get out of high school, he said, you need to get all the education you can get. But he said, one of the things I don't want you to do, I don't want you to go to Dallas or Fort Worth and go to work for General Motors, putting the front bumper on a car, and you do that for the next 20 or 30 years, and then one day they lay you off and you don't know how to do nothing but put a front bumper on. He said, it's going to be hard to find another job. So he said, whatever you do, let me give you this advice. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I said, what do you mean by that, Dad? He said, I'm telling you, learn how to do a lot of different things. He said, so therefore, if somebody needs help, you will be a good helper. You know, he said, you can work. You can always provide for your family if there's a need for the service you do. Well, my dad gave me the best advice that he knew how. But I'm going to tell you today, we're going to start with Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to show you the kind of advice God gives us. Now then, can you get any better advice than God gives you? No, you cannot. So I want you to look at Joshua chapter 1, King James Bible. It says here, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun. In other words, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Now then, for those of you that never heard God speak, right here's a case where God spoke to Moses. He spoke to Moses, now he's speaking to Joshua. And I talked to a gentleman a while ago. He said, the Lord has only spoken to me three times in my life. Well, all I can say is praise God. You know, that's three times more than some people have heard it. You know, so don't be sad if God's only spoken to you three times. But he says, now then, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, God's given them the land. Okay, verse 3 and 4. Every place that the soles of your foot shall tread upon, That have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and from this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, it shall be your coast. So all of that land from the river Euphrates, which is now most of it on, at least on the east side of it, is all Muslim property. Israel has just a little bitty tiny place over there. But God said that this, all this land from the coast of the Mediterranean all the way over to the river Euphrates is going to be the Israeli land. And that day's coming. That day's coming when all that's going to be there. I mean, I hate to say, but it appears from what I read in the scripture, we don't have time to discuss this today, but from what I read in the scripture, that there is a war coming in the not too distant future where it, all the nations that are Muslims around Israel will attack Israel, and when they do, God's going to annihilate the Muslim world. I mean, he says he's not going to leave a one of them alive. You know, now, because they didn't treat their brother Israel with, you know, with peace and prosperity. I just think, you know, it doesn't, it's not really good to get on the bad side of God. You know, I kind of want to stay on his side, don't you? I want to worship him and praise him and thank him because I love it when he pours out those blessings upon us. I hate those curses. He says, the river Euphrates, okay, we've read all that. Okay, next verse, 5 and 6. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, wait a minute. If God is with you, do you have anything to fear?
No.
Nobody can, I mean, it doesn't make any difference what. If you are walking under the law of faith and you're walking in obedience to God's word and you're walking in faith, you can walk right through the fire and it won't hurt you. Now, we used to have a general. He's now deceased, but General Douglas MacArthur. Some of you may have heard about him. He was one of our great generals in World War II. And when they were over in the Philippines and Japan and all those kind of places over there, Douglas MacArthur, as he would come on shore, there would be, he'd have his fine uniform on with his hat, you know, and all that stuff, and his medals and everything. And he would be walking and a bomb would shoot, hit somewhere close to him, and the mud would splatter, and these other generals would hit the ditch in their uniforms and everything. He just kept on walking just like this. One of them said, "General, how in the world can you do that? Aren't you afraid?" He said, "No, sir. I'm a man of destiny. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ," and he said, "there ain't nothing can take me out till he's ready." So he said, "I ain't going to get down there in that mud with my uniform. I'm going to walk upright. I have the protection of God on my side."
Amen.
Now, what kind of a man was that? He's a man. I mean, he wasn't no wimp. I mean, we need some more men like that, not just in the military. We need them in the church. We need men that's not afraid, that knows who they are. But the Lord promises us that we don't have to worry about nothing. For he says, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Now, is it possible for God to fail us or forsake us? You know, I hear people all the time saying, "Oh, God, be with me this week." You don't have to pray that. He's already promised in his word he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, "But Lord, I'm in pain and suffering." That's all right. He knows everything you're going through, and he's taking care of it. All you got to do is stay in faith and walk holy, and I guarantee your pain will go away. Now he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide, for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto your fathers to give them." Verse 7 and 8. "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Now, if God is telling these people, "Hey, I've given you this land, and there's giant people in there. You're going to have to go in and possess this land. You're going to have to go in and fight for the land." Do you think God's going to give us our healing today without fighting with his word? No, it's not. It's not going to, I mean, we want to be wimps. So, "Yeah, Lord, I'll do it if it's easy. Lord, I'll do anything you say if it's easy." Well, it ain't easy. You got to get in the book and spend some time. "Well, I ain't got time to do that. I'd rather watch TV. Well, stay sick if you want to. You know, it's that's the way it is. But if you want what God's got, I think about Weston right here. I think about when he started on his healing process, he got in the Word, and he was in the Word and quoting the Word over and over, day and night. And it took months. But with stage four lymphoma terminal cancer, he beat it. But if he had just went home and said, okay, God, I'm going to wait for you to heal me, he'd have died. But he had to fight. See, that's where we miss it. I mean, we think, well, I prayed. That should be all I have to do. No. What did you notice this lovely little lady did while ago when she got home that afternoon? What did she do? She worshiped and praised the Lord for 5 minutes. How long?
2 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Some of y'all think, oh, my gosh, 2 hours. She's a glutton for punishment. No, she was grateful for her healing.
Amen.
And you notice she's still healed. And she had terrible diabetes, and she's healed. Now, what can God heal?
Anything.
I mean, all you got to do is realize that you have to fight for it. And that's one of the ways you fight. It's worship and praising. Is there any place in the Scripture where we ever saw that the enemy come against Israel and the only thing they did was sent a band out to worship and praise God? Anybody ever read that story?
Yeah.
They did. Didn't who in the world would fight a battle like that? Is that stupid? I mean, let's just go out and let's just take our horns and let's just pray. Let's praise the king. Just go out there praising the king with our horns, and the Lord confused the enemy and they all got killed. And they never lost a man. Isn't that something? Is that the way we can we do that same thing? Sure, we can take that and we can use that as an example. We can take the Scripture. We can start praising the Lord and standing on His Word. Hey, Lord, thank You that I'm healed because it's written in Your Word. You made me this promise. Now it's done. So, Lord, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand courageous through this whole thing. I ain't giving up. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be very courageous, and I'm going to be strong. I'm going to win my battle. I'm going to win it in Jesus' name. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now then, verse 8. Let's look at this verse 8. This book, now this is the best advice any daddy could give his children, both boys and girls. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein once in a while. How much are you supposed to meditate in the Word? Day and night. That sounds like the way some of us watch television, don't it? Wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is turn on the TV. Some people don't even turn that beast off at night. They let it run while they're sleeping. They're feeding their subconscious mind is being fed the trash of the world. But I know lots of people. I've seen lots of people. I've been at their house. When we go in, they wake up in the morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock, first thing they do is flip the control, turn on the TV to see what's going on. And it sets their runs all day. You have breakfast with them, TV's on. You have dinner with them, the TV's on. You start to leave their house at night at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, and the TV has never been turned off. It's sitting there with the trash of the world being fed into that house. Wow. I'll tell you what, you want to walk in God's anointing? You ain't going to do that. You're going to have to turn that beast off. I will have to say, once in a while, in fact, I told somebody this earlier, y'all know this last week we had some pretty good storms around here, right? We know that Cleburne took a big hit. 6 people died down there. Granbury, 6 people died. And Cleburne, well, I haven't, at 9:25, I was doing something and I walked outside and I saw all the storms and everything. I thought, well, I guess I'm going to run in right quick. I thought, Lord, maybe this is from you. I run in, turn the TV on and see if there's anything on the news about where these storms are. So I run in there and flipped on the TV on Channel 4, and boy, that's all it was at 9:25. And they were saying, you know, Granbury has just been hit really hard. Several homes have been totally destroyed. And now there's a 1 mile wide tornado headed right straight for Cleburne, Texas. I said, Lord, now I know why you sent me in here to turn this television on. I said, Lord, I threw up my hands. I said, Lord, I remit the sins of all the people in Cleburne. In the name of Jesus. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
That's according to the Word of God, we can. So, Lord, I remit all their sins. I ask you to forgive them all. Now I command, now that I've remitted their sins, I command that tornado to dissipate and not do the damage it had been planned to do in the Cleburne area. And Father, I want to thank you and praise you. And I'm sitting there with the TV on, with both hands up in my chair, reared back, worshiping and praising the King. And all of a sudden, within about 3 minutes, no more than 3 minutes, the guy come back and said, we don't know what just happened, but the tornado is totally, it's going away and changing in Cleburne. Now, I know there must have been some of y'all somewhere that was agreeing with me in prayer at the same time, you know, because I know I wasn't the only one God called to do that, Mary. You know, I know God speaks to more of his children than just one of us, right? Amen. Sure he does. And so as all of us were remitting their sins and everything else and praying the prayer of faith, we literally stopped the damage that was headed for Cleburne, and they got by with not near what Granbury got hit with. There was 16 or 17 tornadoes. I didn't have any idea how many there were, but I knew those things were all over the place. Now then, God has given us that kind of power and authority if we know it as sons of God. But so many people don't have a clue. It said, now this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, after you do what it says, shall you make your way prosperous, and then shall you have good success. Now then, I heard Dave make this statement the other day. He said, you know, I don't care if my children go to college or not, but I am going to make sure they learn the Word of God. Now that's the best advice from a daddy that I ever heard in my life. In fact, I guess he's the only father that I ever heard in my life that made that statement for his children. Most daddies want their children to go to Baylor or Harvard or Yale or somewhere. We want them to go to a good school. And now then, these good schools that started by good Christian people are now perverted. I tell you what, if I was going to go to school today, if I was going to start over where I am right now, and it might not be a bad idea, you know, if I were to go to Yale or Harvard, I could really stir up something up there. I mean, I could really stir up some problems in those schools. Whoa. Couldn't we? I mean, could all of us? Yeah, with what we know about the Word of God? You know, I mean, to tell you, and I still love that story about that Marine, you know, that was home from Iraq for a few months, and he was going to take a course while he was there, and he went back there in the class, and the professor walks in, you know, and he comes in, he says, you know, is there anybody in here believe there's really a God? And of course, this Marine, he held his head. Yeah, I believe there's a God. He said, you know, there ain't no God. I'm going to prove to you there ain't no God. He said, okay. So he said, you know, God, if you're really real, just come down here and punch me out. Knock me out right now. I'll give you 10 minutes, God. Can you imagine the stupidity of professors doing something like this in college today? But we got some. We got some that this stupid. So anyway, for a few minutes, he's going along there, and 7 or 8 minutes goes by, and he said, look, son, see, I told you, there's no God. If there was, I told him to come down here and knock me out. So this Marine just gets up, walks up to the front of the room, walks right up to the guy, looks him right in the eye, and says, bam, hits him right in the chop, just knocks him out flat. After he wakes up in a few minutes, he gets said, what did you do that for? He said, you know, God sent me to take care of his light work. He's watching over our boys over in Iraq. I thought, we need a few more of those kind of Marines, don't we? You know, sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes, did you know that the question was asked in our country, I don't know how many people they surveyed, but they asked, do you think it's possible for us to get back to being a republic without force, without a real revolution? And you know how many people in America that they surveyed said they think we're going to have a physical killing revolution in America to get back to the republic? 39% of the people they surveyed said they believe we're going to have a war on the grounds of America. That's sad, isn't it? The only thing that's going to change that is the prayers of the saints. If we don't pray, it's going to happen. But if we pray, it ain't going to happen. We can win this battle on our knees. That's absolutely a fact. But he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And that's the problem with the church today. We've not read the book. Or if we've read it, we've read it with a set of closed eyes that does not teach us the truth. When you begin to see the truth of God's Word, I mean, I know Dave, I keep going back to Dave, but I remember when I met Dave, he didn't believe these things either that I teach from God's Word. But after he finally began to get revelation on this, Dave came to me one day and he said, "Pastor, I don't understand how in the world I missed it." He said, "I can open God's Word to any double set of pages and I can find this concept of sin and sickness." He said, "It's everywhere." Well, I remember the day that, since Jack's here today, I'll tell this little story, so since he can confirm it. Me and I was going to go out and look at a sky track, and as we were going across there, he said, "Man, I just started coming to your healing schools, and I don't understand where you get this sin and sickness relationship." He said, "I don't see that in God's Word." I said, "Well, Jack, that's going to be the first 2 hours next Saturday." I said, "Come to the healing school and you'll get to hear it." So he came the next Saturday and he listened to the whole 4 hours. And then a few years later, Jack called me one day and he said, "You know, this sin sickness relationship that I used to couldn't see at all," he said, "I can open the Bible and read any six lines and I can find it." I thought, now, wow, what has happened to his and Dave's eyes in the process? They've been opened. That's right. They've been opened. And so, If Dave tells me he can find sin and sickness relationship on any two pages, and Jack says he can find it in any six lines, that means it's in there quite a bit, isn't it? But it is in there. You know, so when you get it, I just stand in awe, you know. But this book of the law, why do you think God told us to let not this word depart? It's keep it in your mouth, be ready to speak at any time. How in the world are you going to get this word in you? In fact, I made a statement over at the Prophecy Club the first night I was over there. I said, "Okay, we got a full house. We got seats down both aisles and everything. The place is packed out. Now then, folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have them lock the front door. And if you can't, I'm going to give you a notepad. And if you can't write down at least 500 verses for me, you can't go home tonight." I said, "How many of y'all?" I said, "Okay, so let me take a vote. How many of y'all in this place could write down 500 verses for me?" Guess how many hands went up? None. Not one. Not one. I said, "Okay, 100. Guess what? None. I come down to 10, and guess what? About a handful. I thought, "Okay, wow." I said, "So now y'all see what's wrong with us? Y'all see what's wrong with us? I mean, so God, what did God say for us to do with this law? Hide it in our heart. Put it in our mouth. Speak it. You know, every time you open your mouth, what should be coming out? Words. Yeah, not words of profanity, not words about junk. That's just like the other day. I was talking to a young boy, and he was having a few physical problems, and so I was trying to get him healed. And I said, "Son, I said, can you name me the apostles?" He said, "How many are there?" I said, "Okay," I was talking about the 12 original ones, you know, but I said, "Okay, yeah." I said, "There's 26, but I said, "Okay, so you can't name me 12. And no, sir, I cannot. I said, "Do you watch football?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "You ever heard of the Dallas Cowboys?" "Yeah." And I said, "Can you name me who the starting team is?" "Absolutely." And I thought, now we know where he puts all his interests. Now, see, if he had spent as much time in God's Word as he does spending our television watching a football game, but that's where most of our young men are today. I mean, you ask them, I remember one day I went to Kansas City years ago, and that's when Roger Staubach had just won the Super Bowl. Yeah, I couldn't even think what that was called. But anyway, Roger Staubach, and of course, I went to Kansas City. That was one of my operations, and I walked up on the dock that Monday morning, and one of the guys said, "Hey, Thurman," he says, "what do you think about your guy, Staubach?" I said, "My guy, Staubach?" I said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I don't know anybody by the name of Staubach." He said, "You don't know Roger Staubach?" I said, "I don't think I ever heard of him." And he said, "You are from Dallas, aren't you?" I said, "We're pretty close. I live in Louisville." I said, "That's just up the road." I said, "Why, who is he?" He said, "He's the head quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and they just won the Super Bowl yesterday." I said, "What's the Super Bowl?" I said, "No, I take that back. I have heard of the Super Bowls. I said, but I'll never watch it. I don't know anything about it. But let me tell you, why do you think, since I've hidden the word in my heart instead of the world, why do you think I have such a good success rate in getting people healed? Because with what I've learned in the world, does that get anybody healed?
No.
Where do I get the knowledge to get people healed?
The word.
The word. And when I quote the word, Jesus shows up.
Amen.
And don't we love that? You know, you noticed the grandfather a while ago, after he's learned the word, you notice the people he's praying for in bold faith, and you notice he said, they're getting healed.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
The word of God's working for granddad, just like it does for this granddad. You know, and I'm grateful that God does that. But he didn't happen until he got in the word, and he's begun to listen to it, and he's listening to it. You notice they're now listening to the word every day?
Yeah.
Every day. Now, what did God tell us to do here? He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. I said, like one of the ladies coming to me, I said, you know, the reason so many people are sick today is because there's so much sexual activity out of wedlock within the church. And, of course, I talked about that in great length, you know, because that's why so many people are sick. I mean, I see it. Your children are sick because of that sin. I mean, of course, one of the ladies, after it was over, we didn't pray for people the first night because it was 10:30 at night. But she came up and she said, you know, I don't agree with you in this sexual thing. You know, said, God's a God of love, mister. You know, he loves. He would never judge us. I told her, I said, you know, have you ever read Hebrews 13:4? She says, well, I know what it says. I said, you know, while you're standing right there, I want you to open your Bible. I want you to read Hebrews 13:4 to me and see what God says. Now, as he's talking here in Joshua 1:8, are we supposed to meditate on the word? Okay, so is Hebrews 13:4 in the word? So what does it say? Anybody got it? What? The marriage bed is honorable in all, but whoremongers, homosexuals, and adulterers, God didn't say might. It says God will judge them. So if it says God will, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to judge them. So people are dying every day, and their children are dying every day. Just like we go back to when Moses came down from the mountain. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, there's a drunken orgy going on. People are naked, running all over the place. Tens of thousands of them. Somebody says, man, that must have been some kind of a party. It must have been. Because God killed 23,000 of them that one day. Right there. I mean, he didn't like what he saw. 23,000 people that was drunk and having sex with somebody that wasn't their mate and everything else, running all over the place, having a party. Those people died right there and went to hell that night. 23,000 of them. Ooh, people, but God's a God of love today. He would never do that today. But in Hebrews 13:4, he said he will. So he's killing people, making people sick and afflicting them to get their attention, to straighten them up every day. And people are not even smart enough to realize why they're being sick. They don't know. Wow, what a shame. But look what he says. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now then, if we meditate on the book, and the book says you're to have no grumbling and complaining. I mean, we know it says that, don't we? Then what should we do? No grumbling and complaining. Then why in the world do we still do it? I'll tell you why. We hadn't had quite enough spankings yet to really believe that God's going to do it. After you've had as many as I have, you finally get to where you believe that. You know, I mean, I've had a few. I don't know about you, but I don't like a spanking from God. I've had several. Sometimes I think I must really be a hard learner. You ever have that feeling? I must really be a toughie, you know. But guess who's tougher? The king is. That's right. You can't outdo him. He will get your attention. He will judge you. But he says there, that you may do according to all that is written therein, for then, after you do obey everything it says, it shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have a good success in life. Now, is that what everybody's looking for?
Amen.
Everybody wants their children to be prosperous and successful. But the one thing we're not telling them to do is, child, get in the Word. Read God's Word. And then obey what you learn. And it will bring prosperity and health to you. I mean, that's just like I can remember years ago whenever I didn't even know nothing about tithing. You know, I mean, I'd raised up in church, but I didn't learn that at church. I got in the military, and I was in the military, and I was having a struggle making it from payday to payday. Now, I know none of y'all have ever been through anything like this, but I was having a struggle from payday to payday to make it. I never seemed to have enough payday to make it to the end of the month. You ever had that? Yep, I had it, and one day I was in church, and I said, Lord, I do not understand why I cannot. I said, Lord, I'm trying my best to balance my budget. I just don't understand why I seem to never be able to have enough. You know, I'm always short a few dollars. And so I went to church one day. And of course, I went every Sunday. But that Sunday, the pastor happened to be talking about tithing. And he said, you know, there's people that'll come here, and when the offering plate's passed, they'll put a dollar bill in the plate. Well, that's exactly what I'd done that morning. When the plate come by, I dropped my dollar in there. When he said that, I looked up, and he was pointing his finger right at me. I just shrunk down in the seat. I thought, oh, God, he saw me put that dollar bill in there. He's talking about me. No, he didn't see me put that dollar bill in there, but who did see me put that dollar bill in there? The only one that counts, and that's God. And he's trying to tell me, son, I'm not pleased with that dollar. I am giving you $40 a week out there as an airman in the Air Force, and you ought to be putting $4 of that a week in the plate, not one. And then when I got home, I was so convicted, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't see how in the world we can't make it now by putting a dollar. And if we put four in there ain't no way that we can make it to the end on that $40. But I said, the pastor did say, God says, put me to the test and try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain. I said, I don't know how in the world he's going to do that. But I said, next Sunday, we're going to put $4 in that offering plate. I've been putting that $4 plus 10% ever since. That's been a long time ago. And from the day I started tithing until today, guess how many times I've been out of money? Never. Never. I have always had enough money to pay all my bills. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Now then, I know I got to be one of God's favorites. That's the reason he does that, huh? You don't think so? Oh, you don't think I'm his favorite, huh? I mean, yeah. Who can be God's favorite?
Nobody.
Well, yeah, anybody that obeys him.
That's right.
So I can be his favorite, you can be his favorite, Scott can be his favorite. All of us can be his favorite as long as we obey him, right?
Right.
So, but we have to obey. And he does not have any favorites. I mean, you know, if you don't obey him, you're definitely not a favorite. You're under his curse. And so, wow, and I think about this. Let's go to verse 11 and 12. I mean 8 and 9, yeah, the next two verses, what I'm from, sorry. 9 and 10, that's what I meant. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Now then, if God promised to be with Joshua wherever he went, just like he did with Moses, today under the new covenant, he promises to not forsake us or leave us. And so everywhere we go, he's with us. Now then, I'd much rather have him with me with his arm around me, blessing me, than following me and booting me in the rear end because I'm disobedient. Do y'all know where I'm coming from?
Amen.
Yeah. I do not want to be booted because I'm doing wrong. Because can I get away from God? No, he's always there. And he's either blessing me because I'm obeying him or he's cursing me because I'm disobeying him. One of the two. There's no other way. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals or your items you need to take with you, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. Now then, I don't know if you know or not, but it just happens to be that right now the Jordan River is at flood stage. I mean, it's roaring it's not a very big river anyway, but today it's a big, I mean, in this story where we're talking about, I mean, there is a giant river flowing from bank to bank. And if you've ever lived where I had down in Mills County, when I was a kid growing up, the Colorado River, when they built that dam down way down on toward Austin down there, I can't think what it is. Anyway, they built a, been so long since I've been down there, I can't even remember. But anyway, they built a big lake, a big, huge monster, and they said with normal flows of the Colorado River, it'll take 3 years for that to run around. It'll hold all the water that's going to run from West Texas down through Mills County and on into, it'll take 3 years of normal rainfall to fill that big dam up. But I think it was my dad told me in either 1933 or 1935, whatever it was, when he was a young man, they had the biggest rains in West Texas they ever had. And normally from the top of the Gold Lake Mountain, you cannot see the Colorado River, not at all. You can't even see it. It's about 5 or 6 miles out there. But that day when Dad come up on top of the Gold Lake Mountain, the Colorado River was over 1 mile wide. And that big giant lake they had just built filled up and run around in 3 days. 3 days. Do what?
Lake Travis?
No, it wasn't Lake Travis, Bill. It was, it's the one back up. It's the first one after Mills County. I cannot think of the name. Anyway, it don't make any difference, but it's a big lake. It's several big lakes down there, but it's up ahead of Lake Travis. But anyway, that Colorado River runs into it, and it filled that thing up in 3 days. Now, my dad told me that's the biggest river he had ever seen in his life. I mean, I've done a lot of fishing on the Colorado River, and it's a pretty good-sized little river, okay? Nothing like the Mississippi or nothing like that, you know. It's a little tiny stream compared to the Mississippi. But it's a pretty good fishing place, and I used to love to go down there and everything. But to think about that river, every time I go to the top of the Gold Lake Mountain, I look out there and I think, wow, my dad got to see the river over a mile wide. Wow, that was something. But you just don't realize what God can do. But he says, get everything ready. In 3 days, you're going to go through, and you're going to go through the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is heaped up. Now, this thing, what if I had I mean, I've seen the Colorado River whenever it's only 20 or 30 feet deep. You know, I mean, running, I mean, huge. You know, it's maybe 100, 120, 150 feet wide, and it's 20, 30, maybe 40 foot in places, a lot of water. But I'm telling you, when it was running like that, guess what I didn't do? I didn't go down there and go swimming in that beast. I didn't step off the side because that water is running down that river. And if you had stepped off into that, man, you'd have been in trouble. Got your foot hung in a vine or something like that, and that thing, you couldn't have never got out. You'd have drowned it. So if somebody had told me, just walk up there and start walking across it, I would never have had the faith to do something like that. Never. But Joshua's fixing to tell them, we're fixing to walk across the Jordan River. And so they're going to walk up there, and they're going to walk across this thing, and they're going to walk right on across. And as the priests step out there, the land's going to become dry, and the water's going to heap up behind them. And all of Israel, which is a few million people. Now, you got to get this in your spirit, what this looks like. The scripture said there's 650,000 adult males. Now, if you got 650,000 adult men, you got 650,000 adult females. They all got a wife. And back in those days, with no kind of whatever to prevent people from having babies, you know, you see that back in those days they had anywhere from 6 to 10 to 15 kids, right? Yeah, they're just as bad as us, you know. They had sex pretty regular, you know, and it brought forth children. So you got to think, we got probably, I say, a minimum of 3 million, maybe a maximum of 5 million people that's going to cross that Jordan River. It wasn't like the Ten Commandments, the movie you saw. That didn't even come close. I've heard people say that it would take the lake, the Red Sea, God would have had to back the water up, I think it's 3 miles. 3 miles, and people walk 4 abreast all the way across that all night long to get 5 million people across that. Okay, now you stop and think about this. How many people we got in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex? About 5 or 6 million, right? Now then, you can drive 70 miles an hour for an hour and you're still in Dallas. Is that right? And is there ever a lack of people?
No.
No, they're wall to wall, aren't they? They're in their cars, they're walking on the streets. People are everywhere. Can you imagine God giving you the chore to get all that mess of people together and march them down the interstate all the way to Oklahoma City? I mean, just march them down a 6 or 8 lane highway. I can't even imagine that. But they didn't have a highway. They was walking out there on the dirt. So, I mean, this has got to be a bigger task, far bigger than we even dream about what it is. But with God, what can He do? Hey, that's what you got to realize, who we're serving. The King, He's a God of order, and He can make everything happen. And He says, and you shall go into the land and you shall possess it. Then He says, and to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh, spoke Joshua saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. So we see we're going to have to possess this. We're going to have to take it. And sometimes that's why we have to get together in church. That's why we have to bring the sick here, because people like me and Dave and some of our and Jeff and our ladies and everything that work here, many times we have more faith than the actual average person. And you can't get healed without us. But when you come and we demonstrate our faith, when you've repented of your sins, God takes the both of those and He makes it work, doesn't He? We've seen that happen many times. We've seen people that have prayed for each other or for one another that couldn't get healed, and yet they come here and we pray for them and God heals them. And that's wonderful. And that's why we have to gather together, take our weapons together and fight this thing together, knowing that some of us have more faith than others. And so don't ever be concerned about humbling yourself before God to come down to ask somebody that has greater faith than you have to pray for you. I mean, you know, I've had to do it. You know, I've had to ask people to pray for me. When I get in pain or something, and I don't know about you, friend, but I hate pain, don't you? You know what I mean, don't you, girl? Yeah, I don't like pain. And so, hey, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I've prayed for myself 2 or 3 times, and that pain's still there. I go in and drag this girl out by the hair of the head. I said, honey, lay hands on me and pray for me. I'm hurting. Now, I don't like pain. Do you, Weston?
Nope.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind tackling her and getting her to say, come help me, but I'm busy. No, she never says that. If I tell her, I said, I need prayer, man, she drops everything just like that. She comes and helps me. Is this the way God telling these men to do it? Drop everything and go with them. Help them fight the battle till you get it won. Then come back. Then let's see what he says in the next couple of verses there. He says, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. And is that all the scriptures? No, let's see. We got how many verses? Oh, we got 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Verse 17 and 18. Remembering, as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto you, only that the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto the words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now then, even right here, if we do not obey the commands of Joshua, which are the commands of God, the Lord is giving a command there, you shall surely lose your life. He still doesn't change that today, does he? He tells us to produce fruit for his kingdom. You know, if we don't produce fruit, he said, I'll just cut you off. And so that people don't believe God will do these kind of things. But He does, because he's training us how to be overcomers. Now then, I want to go from this scripture here, I want to go to Proverbs chapter 3, start with verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. According to Joshua, chapter 1, how much time are we supposed to spend studying the Word of God? A whole lot, right? A whole lot, yeah. Now, did he tell us that in the New Covenant too? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? Is that what he said? Study. He didn't say read it, did he? He said study it. And so that's what we need to do. Jackie, if you were going to teach a course in school, you wouldn't have to study at all. You just know everything in the book. You wouldn't have to do any studying at all, would you, girl? Oh, that's not the way it works, huh? In other words, you've been a teacher just like I've been a teacher. And boy, the ones that learn to do the hardest studying is the teachers, isn't it? You have to know more than everybody else. So to teach a subject, you have to get in it. And of course, that's who learns. When we get in and start studying to prepare to teach somebody else, that's why you and me know more about some of our subjects than the students that we've been taught. You know, because we had to do so much studying to teach them. And that's the same thing about God's Word. When you have to study His Word, wow, what, are you ready for your 5,000 word test when you get to heaven? I hope there ain't going to be one when they get there. If there is, I got a feeling I'm going to be in trouble. Wow. But look here, let's look at what the Lord says here in Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law. Now, we went from Joshua to the Proverbs, and he's saying the same thing, isn't he? He's saying, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, because look what the consequences of that is. If you keep his commandments and you read his law, verse 2 tells us there is a special thing that happened. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Now then, I love that, don't you? I mean, I love that God is going to, he says, for length of days. I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, I've said, you know, there's just not enough hours in the day. Any of y'all ever said that? Oh yeah, sure, not enough hours in the day. But did you know that if you put God first, he'll make that day long enough for you to get everything done you needed to do today? He'll bless you. And if you don't do what he says, you can't have a day long enough to get it done. I mean, you can work 24 hours today and 24 hours tomorrow, and you still like 12 hours being through. Well, you should have got it all done in the first day, because you're not putting God first. He says there, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that. I like length of days, long life, and peace. Do you like to live in peace every day?
Amen.
Oh, I mean, you know, some people go around there and torment all the time, and I just have peace all the time. I just live in peace. In fact, I got real tickled at one of the boys, handsome, young, strong, young boy. He was a black boy. But he come up to me last night, and he said, Mr. Scribner, he said, people say things to me and I take offenses and I just live a defeated life. I said, son, are you a Christian? Well, yes, sir. I said, you had never realized who you are yet. I said, you know, you're a son of God. I said, if somebody walks up to you and says anything negative, I mean, it don't matter what they say to you, any derogatory statement or anything else. I said, the kids in school used to call me Four Eyes because I wore glasses. I said, it used to really bug me when they say, oh, there's old Four Eyes. Well, I mean, so I had to wear glasses. I couldn't see without the crazy things, you know? I mean, I didn't know what the problem was. I didn't know how to walk in faith. Nobody ever told me none of those things. So most of my life, or the greater part of my younger life, I wore glasses. But I said, you know, it used to really offend me. I said, my mother told me one day, said, son, you're a son of God. It don't matter what they say to you. It don't matter, they don't know you. Said, there's only one that really knows you, and that's God. And he made you just like that. So he said, don't worry about it. Just praise the Lord. Just remember who you are as a son of God. I remembered I told that young boy, I said, you know, when you realize you're a son of God and nothing should bother you at all, I said, you won't ever let anything anybody says to you ever hurt you or nothing. I said, when they say it, you'll just say, ah, that's your personal opinion. And that don't carry no weight at all with me. Only God. I said, don't even listen to what the people are saying. Man, that boy went away saying, I got it. I got it. He said, I ain't gonna let nothing nobody says offend me no more. From now on, I'm gonna know and realize I'm a son of God, and there ain't nothing nobody can do to me to change that. Is that true?
Amen.
Yes, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We don't have to worry about what. I don't care if somebody says, I don't like the dress you got on today. Or I don't like the pants you got. I don't like them white boots. You look like something else. I said, well, praise God. Boy, look at them. Ooh, I love them. I was in the airport in New York one day, and I had these, my other pair on, just like these. And a couple of guys walked in and said, sir? I said, yes, sir. He said, where are you from? I said, Texas. He said, I thought so. He said, I see those white snake boots you're wearing. He said, you know what they say about them up here? I said, yeah, I could give a rip what they say about them up here. I don't care if you like them or don't like them. I ain't trying to please you. I like them because I wear them because I like them. That wasn't the answer he was expecting me to get. But he found a young boy that knew who he was in Christ, and I didn't care what they thought about my boots. I wear these boots because I like these boots. If you don't like them, that's okay. I'm still a son of God, and Jesus must like them because he made them, and he gave them to me, and he gave me the money to buy them. So I don't have no problem. You see what I mean? Yeah, they were going to try to make me feel like a nobody or something, you know. I said, hey, brother, or make me feel like a whatever. But I know y'all all know what I'm trying to say here, but it didn't make no difference to me. I and God know the truth about me.
Amen.
So they was those guys were awestruck. Boy, it didn't take long. They were gone. You got to know who you are, right? I'm a son of God. You know, that's who I am. My son, forget not my law. But let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall add to you. Wow. So I'm going to keep his law in my mouth. I'm going to keep it in my heart. I'm going to speak it out. Because as I speak out the word of God, it brings forth great and awesome miracles and healings and everything else in people's lives. And I ain't going to be one of those guys going around. If I saw some guy had a pair of boots like that and I was in New York, I'd say, wow, praise God, them sure are pretty boots. I sure do like them. I said, you better watch me. I'll take you down, take them away from you. But you know, you need to do things and say things that bless people, not cut people down. So, you know, it don't make any difference whether I'm little, whether I'm tall, whether I'm skinny, whether I'm fat, whether I'm a beanstalk. It makes no difference to me. I'm a son of God. Is that right? Yeah. So I'm him. For length of days, and I love length of days, and I love long life, and I love peace. Well, let's see what verse 3 and 4 says. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck, mercy and truth. You know, some people can't be merciful. They just don't want to be merciful. You know, you need to learn how to be merciful to people because that's God's way, right? If there's somebody come by and they've got to have a little money to get their rent paid or something, I mean, I've helped so many people, it's just unbelievable. You know, I mean, if you come every month and keep telling me I got to have money for my rent, I'm going to tell you to go to work. You know, I work, don't you?
Amen.
If you get in a rut once in a while and something happens, I don't mind helping you out, but I ain't going to help you every month. I ain't going to pay your rent every month. So, I mean, I don't mind helping people. I will be merciful to them. You know, God told us in his word, if you don't work, you don't eat. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what he said. If you don't work, you don't eat. So you need to get out there and go to work. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In other words, if you do what that just said, you're going to have people that's going to love you. They're going to like you. And not only are they going to like you, but God's going to like you. That's what that said, wasn't it, Kim? And I want people to love me, and I want God to love me. I'd a whole lot rather God love me than you, but if I can't please you, I probably can't please him either. So, okay, let's see what verse 5 and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That's why you have to take the word and you quote the word and you lean not on your own understanding, because a lot of people that try to get healed, when they start trying to get healed and they repent of their sin, they get prayed for, and the pain's still there 4 or 5 hours later, or 4 or 5 days later, all of a sudden they hear this little voice that says, you know, it don't work for you. You know, and they believe him instead of the word. Instead of saying, you know, you may tell me it ain't working, but I know it is working. You know, it can't change. It cannot not work because God said in his word. Now then, if David had given up at 6 months, guess what? If Dave had to give up at a year, guess what? Would he have been healed? No. But he fought it to the end. 20 months later, he's totally healed. Now, praise God, he's been healed for 10 years, and ain't nobody no happier than him. Just like Weston. Weston fought the battle for months, didn't he? Yes. And as he fought that battle, he got healed. Now, he's been healed 5 or 6 or 7 years, whatever it is. I can't even keep up with it no more. But it's okay. I mean, I know several years ago, he was given a death certificate. You know, Weston was, they told him, it's over. You know, but I've seen many people receive that, you know, but that's not true. And the best one of all is that little guy that came to a healing school over in Dallas. When he said, sir, I think this guy's about 40 years old. He had some gross sin in his life. He'd done all kinds of things rotten, and he got to feeling real bad, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have this disease, and you got 3 months to live, and there ain't no cure for it, so just get ready, prepare for your funeral. It's over. So he was from Kentucky. He goes up to Kentucky where his family was all up there. He buys him a lot, you know, to be buried. And he goes in with the funeral director and he's making plans how to do his funeral. And the guy says, how come you're doing this? You look healthy. He said, well, the doctor told me I got 3 months to live. He said, where are you from? He said, to Dallas. He said, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Thurman Scrivener over there? He said, no, sir, never heard from him. Never heard of him. Don't have a clue who he is. He said, let me give you one of his CDs, and on the way home, you listen to it, and then next Sunday, you go to his church. He come over there, and I told him, I said, oh, yeah, you got this sin, that sin, that sin. I said, you know, we need to confess those, and we need to break the curses and throw the devil out. And I said, then you're going to be okay. We did all those things. He said, where did you learn all this? Where do you think I learned all this? In the Word. That's exactly right. So we broke the curse and everything, and the last time I saw that young man was about at least 4 or 5 years after that, and he's still alive and well. And when I saw him, he'd come up and hug my neck, right? He said, Pastor, I'm so glad I met you those several years ago. I'd already been dead and gone by now. But see, what did God say that if we obey his word, what does it do? Adds what to you?
Length of days.
Length of days and long life. So when we obey him, isn't that amazing? When we do not obey him, it makes our life short. Well, look at this. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So, you know, if we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, just like the other day, I was driving down the road in my car. I'm on the way to Justin, sun shining right in my eyes, and it's bright as it can be, and I'm trying to pay attention, and all of a sudden I hear this little voice. Son, watch for the bicycle. So I pulled over toward the center line and got my wheel on the center line. I could see a little bit there. And just about that time, I go past a guy right on the side. I just barely miss him riding a bicycle. If God hadn't said, son, watch for the bicycle, I'd hit the guy right in the back end. Because I couldn't see him. You know what it is when the sun's shining right in your face? You can't see through that crazy glass. But thank God we have the Spirit of God. When we're walking obedient, he didn't want that boy to get hurt, so he didn't want me to hurt him. So he spoke to me and said, son, watch for the bicycle. Now all I got to do is start looking for the bicycle. And of course, pulled over, and I missed the guy. Praise God. Are we glad we served Jesus?
Amen.
See, now that boy that I missed, he don't even know that God saved his life right there. Has no clue. Somebody asked, do you know you come within an inch of death today? I did. I didn't even know it. Because he doesn't. You know, there's no telling how many times you and me have been delivered, Scott. And we didn't even know it, right? God done it for us because he loved us. Now let's go to 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, what should we do with all evil? Depart from it. And it again, if you depart from evil, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bone. Isn't that amazing what you can learn reading God's word? would ever dream that if you get into evil and do something wrong, that if it says if you depart from evil, it's going to give you this blessing. If you don't depart from evil, what's it going to do? It's going to bring forth sickness and disease and death. Does he say in the word sin brings forth death? You know, I read that 1,000 times and never did know what it meant. It's just like standing in that Baptist church. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Oh, I'm standing on the promises. I hadn't had no idea how to stand on the promises of God. I sang that song, a million times in my life. Boy, I loved that song. Didn't know how to do it, but I do now. Wow. Well, praise God. I didn't realize it was 4:30 until I looked at my watch, and time's already gone by. I was going to try to get through that chapter 3, but I didn't make it, so we'll start right there in verse 9 next week in Proverbs. But we're glad that you come today. If you're new and don't know, all the media is free. Take anything you want. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over on there on the wall. And after we close with a word of prayer, if you need to be prayed for, Cheryl and I will be up here on the front somewhere, and Rosemary will be over here somewhere, and Dave and Jeff will both be back here somewhere, and I think that's all we have here today. I don't see Eldon and Nancy nowhere, so praise the Lord. But anyway, I'm glad you come today. I hope you come back next week, and we will continue on with our study in Proverbs chapter 3. Really, the meat of Proverbs chapter 3, we're just fixing to hit it in the next verse. That's the best part. I love it. But anyway, we'll start right there next week. It's great, and it'll change your life forever if you obey it. But all these things he said, so far, I love everything when he said it gives me peace, it gives me truth, it gives me length of days, and it gives me a long, healthy life. I love all that, don't you?
Amen.
And all we got to do is obey God. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for everybody that came out today. I ask you to give them a great week this week. I ask you to continue to open their hearts and minds to the Word of God. Bless them. And Lord, I want to thank you for this wonderful couple that come all the way from Colorado with their baby to be dedicated. I thank you for healing the grandmother and the grandfather. I thank you for the son, the son-in-law and the daughter. And I praise you for their children and ask you to bless those children and bless them as a family and just do a great work in them and continue to use the father and the grandfather and even the mothers and grandmothers mightily to do great things for your kingdom. As they learn your words and hide your word in their heart, they will be fulfilling the requirements of the law that we've been reading about today. And we thank you, Father, for all your blessings. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a great week, the greatest week we've ever had in our life this week. You said we can have whatever we say with our mouth and we believe it with our heart. I believe we're going to have the best week this week we ever had in our life. I believe that we're going to see you do great things. I think isn't it this Friday we're going to be out in Odessa? Yeah, Friday night and Saturday we'll be in Odessa preaching, teaching. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do great and wonderful things out there. And then Saturday afternoon, we'll fly back home so we can be here next Sunday. And I praise you and thank you for giving us the greatest week we've ever had in our life and blessing all of us and healing your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord and praise the Lord and praise the Lord.